This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy, Johnny G, returning from a recording hiatus. You listeners don't realize that because episodes have been coming out every week. But for me, I took the entire summer off from this podcast. That's why these conversations may have seemed a little dated to you. But now, we're back from the South Shore of Nestor County, Long Island. Standing 6'2", 308 pounds. Yes, he has gotten away from himself here a little bit, folks. It's Johnny G. All you gotta do is trust me. Jackson Maine is still here. Could not lose him despite the hiatus. Abortion is healthcare. Yes, you're right. I agree with you on that. Thank you, sir. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout out. Arthur, currently napping in the living room. He is 14 years old, which I believe is 90-something in dog years. He's living large. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, also 94 in dog years, yeah. We got from the Perfect Person Podcast, Miles Monsignore.
That's absolutely right. It's a pleasure to be here, John.
It's a pleasure to fucking have you, dog. It's a pleasure to see your studio, by the way.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, this is where I record my show, Perfect Person. I mean, it's funny because right before we started recording, you really geared me up. You said, I'm going to do this really annoying intro. And I got to tell you, John, I used to be a listener.
Oh, so it's not. So it was annoying. So it's extra annoying.
So by the way, so I'm aware of the. Of how
I knew how annoying it was.
I knew how annoying it was going to be, but I had heard the show. In fact, at one point, this was years ago. At this point, because I lived in New York, and sometimes I listen to your podcast, and I wrote a review when you read it on the show.
Oh shit! Back when I used to do, if you roast me, I'll read it in the. Oh man, look at that. Full circle. Now you're a guest.
Honestly, yeah, it's a full circle. And now I'm here and I'm sort of like, okay.
All right. Yeah. Maybe I should have given it a 1-star. you heard it from Miles. I guess I haven't even thought about this in years, but if you want to rate me 5 stars on iTunes, I don't even know if that helps anymore because so many people use different podcatcher apps now. Like,
yeah,
I don't even know
right.
how much it matters. But
yeah, you can't even write a review on Spotify. They don't even want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, and I also I've never even broke through the ranks when the podcast was new, so I don't think on episode 441 it's going to break through and be like, Miles and Gabrus chat about video games.
I don't know that. Vulture. This is going to be on Vulture. They're going to do a spread.
Yeah, Vulture. Episode. What the fuck, man? I finally hit my stride in episode 440 after a summer hiatus.
By the way, you must have recorded so many fucking episodes before the summer.
Yeah, by mid-June, I had early June, I had like 15 episodes logged. It had been kind of slow and I was like, fuck it. I'm going to take this because with the job like this, you can't really ever take time off. Like the one thing I've never missed a Thursday in 8 years at this point or whatever.
Amazing. Yeah.
So I'm not going to start now, but I also want to feel like I cannot worry about booking guests for a little bit.
Totally. And the weekly, it's like homework. You know, every week you have to record. Although I went to this thing at Spotify and they were like, yeah, if you miss a week, like people will not listen to your show anymore. Like that you're so baked into their routine that like if you ever or don't have an episode, re-release an old one with an updated intro because like
just to keep people feverish. Yeah.
So they're like, if everyone's like, yeah, when I do dishes, I listen to John's podcast. Like once the second they don't do that, the habit's broken.
Right. I truly believe that. The one thing I've always done with this podcast and Action Boys is we've never missed a week.
Yeah.
And I feel like that. I mean, Action Boys people pay for, so it's even more important. This one, but it does feel like the least you could do is never miss. Like,
yeah, no, right. For a podcast that's you talking uninterrupted for an hour, you're like, I'm not gonna do this week.
I'm gonna take this week off. I need to relax a little for fuck's sake. No, yeah, it feels like you owe it to them, even though it's like a free thing they don't pay for. Like, it feels like consistency. It is important. To be honest, like I've never missed one, but once in a while, like the upload doesn't hit and someone will message me at like noon and be like, hey, the podcast isn't up yet. And I'd be like, right. People listen to this. I forget.
Like people are here. Yeah.
I'm not really interactive with any listeners or do anything like that of like, we got a question this week from, so I have no idea. Like sometimes it starts, and especially once you've, you know, backlogged a bunch of episodes, yeah, you lose the sort of like in like the dynamic where you're just like, I feel like I'm doing it in a, and especially like without, I haven't done a live show in a while. It's like, mm-hmm, I feel like I'm in a fucking vacuum a little bit.
Right. If you're,
and then you get
like,
reminded, you're like, oh shit, right, people listen to this. Or like someone will just tweet at me like, hey man, I don't think we say that anymore. And I'm like, oh, okay,
oh,
got it.
No. On a new app. You hate to hear that.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah, no, it wasn't an episode. They didn't go back 6 years and like call me out. Yeah, I wonder if anyone's running through my backlog. That feels like an intense, like someone's like, oh, I got into it. Let me hear what he had to say about video games in 08.
Yeah, now you're inviting them to, which is a dangerous game. Yeah.
Oh, podcast. God help me. I'm fucking out of here, dude. Yeah. I'm going to be, well, to be honest, though, if you get canceled for podcasting, you just like go a little right wing and make way more money. Like that's the...
Yeah, right. You start to saying like real shit on the internet about,
yeah,
who
and
sucks.
Then people are like, this guy gets to say what he wants. I'll give him $10 a month. Like, yeah, oh, the world hates him, but I'll love him for this.
Yeah, right. The people who are just ride or dying for people who were canceled's podcast, like the content log that they're listening to is bad. Just,
yeah. I'm fighting for these canceled bros. Oh, yeah. Cool, man. Well, cool. Fun. There, I wish if only there were other podcasts out there. So, Miles, you threw out a couple of solid topics that...
yeah.
And I was like, shit, dude, we are, clearly you listened because they were all stuff we could easily go deep on. Even Grey's Anatomy, I was pretty hardcore in the first 5 seasons.
Dude, I mean, that's something that I can talk about for goddamn ever, too.
Are you still on it? Are you still
I rocking? Haven't watched this season, but the previous 18, I binged during the pandemic, and I loved every second. I would take a bath a day and watch 2 episodes of Grey's Anatomy during the pandemic, and I cranked through... all of it. I would like take an edible, get in the tub, and Sarah would be like, it's been 2 hours. Like, what are you doing? And I'd be like pruny and shit and be like, Meredith's gonna die. She's gonna drown or whatever. Yeah.
I mean, that's how I learned who Che was. the idea of the phrase a bath a day seems like you could write a memoir or like a self-help book that's titled A Bath a Day.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's like there's something about it where it's like there's, it sounds ludicrous on the,
yeah,
page, like,
absolutely,
where you're like, you can't, and you're like, but if you do live a life in which you can take a bath a day, your, yeah, bath, your life is probably better.
I'll say I was up to the point in the middle of the pandemic where I was doing 2-a-days.
2 baths a day?
Not every day, but I'd have a weekly 2-a-day.
Where you're like, I just want to get back in there. It was just like,
I'd be working from home and it's lunch and I'm like, you know what, honey? I'm gonna go in the tub for just a little bit. And
run the water, like you're running the water while you like cook yourself lunch or whatever. Yeah.
And then like dinner time would come around, and after dinner, I'm like, well, we can't fucking do anything. I might as well get back in the tub. Like, this is my like time. And I have a little iPad on a tripod that I put next to the bath, so it's like,
oh hell yeah.
That's how I consumed most of Grey's. But anyway,
for listeners, Miles also has gills now.
No, I do have a big gills on my neck.
Check out them gill slits, baby.
That's right. Somebody flirting with Shape of Water.
Yeah, I'm going to make a hard-boiled egg and then jerk off to Miles' gills right now.
Yeah, Jesus.
I think that's all I remember from Shape of Water is her masturbating and hard-boiled eggs for some reason.
The eggs are the thing that's stuck.
Yeah, they're the grossest part of the movie. Yeah. Fuck the fish man. For real, fuck him.
Yeah.
That's much better than the egg. But pandemic got me really into walking. That's where I like reevaluated how I see my neighborhood in a way.
Oh, yeah.
And as an ex-New Yorker, it made me feel like I started just walking to every errand and then creating, like, when I had an errand, I'm like, oh, I want to ship this via UPS. I'd be like, well, look at I found a UPS that's 2 miles away. It's like, I'll walk to it and see what's on the way and get a coffee on the way back from someplace. You know, like, it started to feel like a way to see my neighbor. And now I'm in love with my neighborhood in a new way because I live in West Hollywood where things are kind of walkable.
Oh, yeah.
But also stores change so frequently here due to just like how capitalism is rampantly disgusting, mm-hmm, or whatever.
Yeah, right.
So I would be walking. And then like there are some really intense vestigial buildings here that are like, there's like this hydroponic store that's on Fairfax in between Melrose and Santa Monica, which has been here since I moved, but has never been opened. And it's like, it's on Fairfax at Melrose, like peak fucking real estate.
Yeah, right.
And it's just never been anything but a hydroponic garden store that was closed. And so I'm intrigued by like these things that survive. Like I don't understand real estate or businesses. So like these, and then these things that open and close, and these, you walk past and it's like a Russian mom and pop owned vacuum store next to a brand new cold plunge place, next to a gallery that sells only like Mickey Mouse graffiti paintings or whatever. Like you just get this like weird taste of Los Angeles where it's like a time capsule on every block, and it slowed it down. Driving past it, you see sometimes, but like walking past it, you could stop and look in the windows, and it really changed the way I see my neighborhood. And now I switched post pandemic. I joined a gym that's walkable. I joined a sauna place that's walkable. I switched everything to walkable in my neighborhood and kind of eliminated the car from as much of my life as possible.
That's amazing, by the way. I mean, I love a walk, but I'll also say I love a sauna. For my 30th birthday, my sweet wife, Sarah, did get me off Facebook Marketplace an indoor infrared sauna.
And
it has changed my goddamn life. I'm now, speaking of tubs, I'm saunaing almost every day, if not 5 times a week, like at least.
Oh shit, that's so awesome. Yeah, I'm going like 2 days a week these days, but I dream of owning a sauna in my
place.
It's
just changed because I was thinking about joining Equinox because I love a Schwitz so much. And I was like, I don't even want to fucking work out. Like, I'm like kind of a string bean, but I just want to go in. I want to have the feeling of souping my body so hot and then getting in the shower and then leaving.
Yeah.
And instead of joining Equinox, my wife just was like, let's just get an infrared sauna. And it
that's
sits
so
in my
awesome.
Office.
When do you do it?
I wake up, I have a very young son. So, I wake up with him. And then when he goes down for his first nap, often before he's going down for the nap, I'll flip on the sauna. It's preheating. He goes down for the nap. I'm stripping off nude in the hallway, like running into the sauna and then getting like 15 minutes in and it's changed everything. It's so good. And
that's so awesome.
I mean, you talked about the cold plunge too, though. Me and my friends have really gone down the deep end with the cold plunge. We bought like a sack that we fill with water. We're like cold plunging together on Sundays.
Oh, that's so fun. Yeah. My buddy, I go to his house sometimes and we fill up his recycling bin. Like he has like the LA like upright,
the big blue.
Yeah, like we fill it with water, and he has these office water jugs, are those big like 5 gallon jugs. If you cut the top off, you can fill it with water, and then he has like a deep freezer, and we freeze them so you can make these like 5 gallon ice blocks. Put two of them in with a bunch of hose water, and then a ladder next to it, and with a little support, you can climb in and out and do your old cold. I have since joined a place that has infrared saunas and a cold plunge, and you like schedule them back to back, which is a dream.
What are we talking? Pause.
It's similar to Pause. It's called Live in West Hollywood. Pause is a little far. Live I can walk to. Pause I cannot.
By the way, the walking lifestyle, I mean, that's incredible. I really admire that because I'm trying to walk way more. I'm an East Side girl, so I'm... East Side girl! But there's not like my neighborhood is like sort of walkable. Like I feel like it's just like three disparate towns that you can kind of walk in between.
Right. I know that feeling. And I will say it's like good for the pandemic, but when you're trying to feel productive, when you're like, well, going to the sauna place is now like a 2 hour ordeal instead of like an hour and 05. You know what I mean? Like if you drive there and back, you're like, oh, now it's like but it does make you feel like you're taking time back from some hypothetical, like,
right.
If you're like, I listen to audiobooks too. That's like my big thing. So like walking with an audiobook, you know, I feel like I'm like taking time from the world that's trying to take my time. I'm taking my time back. I'm taking them all back.
No, I'll say that like a 2 hour errand. If I start a 2 hour errand at after 1:30 in the afternoon, my day is over.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get back on my computer at 4 p.m. That's just not going to happen.
No. I'm going to get back on my PlayStation. Look at that fucking segue, dog. Nice.
Hell yeah.
Well, we wanted to talk video games, Miles. What are you currently playing?
So I currently am... We're at a very special time where I was deep into Baldur's Gate 3, and I was playing the fuck out of that, and I really liked it a lot. It's sort of like D&D, but it's a game.
Apparently, people are... So I downloaded Baldur's... I'll get to it, but I downloaded Baldur's Gate and haven't started it yet because I just want to... finish the Diablo campaign. I'm on Diablo 4 right now.
See, but Diablo, there's sort of similar, what do they call that? RTS or a CRPG where it's kind of the top down, you're clicking on stuff. I had never really, that's a genre that I had not played previously. And I would consider myself a capital G gamer. That's not until Baldur's Gate 3, I was not playing that kind of thing. And now I'm oh fuck, maybe I go back and play all this other shit. But I love that a lot. And I just got Starfield and I am crushing it and I could not love it more.
Oh, so you're, because that's the other big game that's out right now. There's a few that are taking over the gamer chats. And BG3 and Starfield seem to be the big ones right now. Yeah.
And
talk to me about Starfield. This kind of game came out of left field. I knew nothing about it.
Did you play Fallout and you played Skyrim, I'm guessing?
I played the shit out of Skyrim. Yeah. Love Skyrim. Yeah.
Yeah. But
did you not love Fallout.
Really?
Sometimes those games, Witcher 3 did this to me too, activate a weird OCD in me. And then I'm and if I don't fully understand what I should pick up and not pick up, I'm bogged down with encumbered. How many rusted coils do I need to carry? when do these become important?
Yeah. You're why do I have food? That shouldn't be something I'm carrying around. Fuck? No.
Now I got to cook at the fire and make. Come on. Yeah.
There's too many systems too. It's you can craft and build a base and build a ship and build your clothes. And it's I am going to do one of these things. Direct me to a gunfight. And that's what I want to do.
Yeah. But I don't even do that shit for myself. You know what I mean? IRL, I barely give a shit about my clothes or my car. It's hard to really dive in on a character. But so talk to me about Starfield, because it sounds fucking awesome. And the clips I've seen from, so it is Bethesda?
It's Bethesda. Yeah. Ooh, it's, okay. I mean, the hook is it's Skyrim in space, but it came out now and not what was 10 years ago when Skyrim came out. But it's, what's great about Starfield, and it took me, a second, you mentioned The Witcher, and there's a thing that happens to me sometimes where a new game will come out and I'll be like, that's cool, I'll get it and buy it, try it, hate it, stop playing it, and then revisit it in 3 to 6 months and love it and play 100 hours of it.
Did that happen to you with Witcher? Is that why you
that happened with Witcher twice? Because this is the era of GameStop. Now I'm just downloading every game. I don't go to GameStop. But when I was in my 20s or whatever, I would go to GameStop, get a game, be like, okay, let me try to play it, buy it used, hate it, return it to GameStop because in 7 days you can return it. And then be like, what about that game? I saw another clip of that. That actually seems kind of fire. And then I'd go back. And with Witcher, I did that 3 times. I bought it, didn't like it, returned it, bought it, didn't like it, returned it, bought it, and then I put 110 hours into The Witcher 3.
Yeah, okay. See, I have less discerning taste than most people, so when a game really pops off, I'm like, okay, yeah. I got to give it another shot. And Witcher 3 in particular, because it's my favorite genre of fantasy.
Oh, it's so
good. I'm like, I got to get it. And then I'm like, I didn't love the combat. I didn't love, I got caught up in a Gwent game for too long. And I'm like,
oh, yeah, this...
and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? And then it moves a little slower than you want it to at first. And then you get frustrated by it.
It's so overwhelming too. This is a whole world. You could live here. I basically lived in the Witcher world for, what is that, 110 hours? It's 5 days of time.
Oh, Jesus. I go to Skyrim a lot as my go-to reference because I think that maybe is one of my favorite games. I played the shit out of Diablo 2 when I was younger. Diablo is in my bones. And all the Blizzard games really are in my bones. I love them all. Mm-hmm. But Skyrim was maybe my favorite game of all time because it is in the fantasy world. And it's just below completely open world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
It's just enough on rails and just streamlined enough for me that I ended up loving the game. Like, where, you know what I mean? I probably had like 9 characters that are in their levels of like 20s and 30s because I that's another thing. I have commitment issues. So when it's a game where you get to make choices, if it's like for example, like, also in the pandemic, I got a PS4 because I couldn't get a PS5 yet. They weren't so I got a PS4. I'd always been Xbox before then. So in the pandemic, I played through all the PS only titles. Like, I did the God of War, I did Spider-Man,
Last of Us 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Love those games so much.
Such fun. And now I have a PS5 and I have not gone back to my Xbox. I actually gave it to a friend's kid. I some of these games are just a little too overwhelming. But then a game like I forget what it's called, like Horizon Zero Dawn. Yeah.
Horizon Forbidden West, yeah.
I love that game. And it's just on rails enough, like, where you can like have fun in the world and like game and grind if you want, but it's really obvious what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, like I agree with that, where I think when I was a kid, I really wanted an open world game. Also, I think I had more time, so I'd be like,
yes, and that is 100% part of it. Yeah.
You're like, I'll play Assassin's Creed and I'll fucking play every inch of it because I just have oodles of time. And now I'm like, I kind of want a game to be a little bit more closed in, or when I play an open world game, I'm just like, I'm not going to do everything. I'm just going to do like this specific set of stuff. Right. And Starfield started like that. So Starfield, it's Skyrim in space. It's a little bit different in that you're not, like, early reviews came out and they were kind of like critical and were like, oh, this kind of sucks because there's a lot of loading screens. Like, you're going between universes and there's like a big galaxy map and there's like, you know, 100 galaxies you can go in, and each galaxy has like 5 planets you can go and visit. It's crazy big. But the problem is that people were like, oh, but like some of those are procedurally generated, and when I go, it's not like this handcrafted thing, and people are kind of dunking on it. But the more I've played it, and then the Reddit also like kind of did a total 180 when it came out, and people were like, wait, if you give this game like 6 hours or something, which is like, oh, crazy, by the way. But if you give
it's better,
hours,
like sometimes people are like, once you get to the second season of the show, it really starts sizzling. It's the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you're right. You have to kind of commit. But now that I've committed, I discovered, you know, so many fun things that made me love the game. Like, I now built my own ship, and I kind of am, like, role-playing. And even though there's no backstory to support this, I'm like, my character's this type of guy, and, like, the decisions I make in the game are going to be like this. And I find that that's really, really rewarding. And I find that to be
because I also play tabletop D&D. As I've gotten older, I've less and less care about winning and more and more care about like playing the character.
100%. Yeah.
So like, it's such a weird, it's a real developmental thing of like, and maybe I also work in entertainment. So the idea of like characters and acting is more interesting than like beating the kobold army is like less.
But who cares?
When you first started out, like, so that sounds really interesting. Starfield. Oh, I didn't know it was a Bethesda game. Like, I somehow just didn't hear about it enough. Like, I have so much shit going. So I'll run you through I want to hear more about Starfield, but I'm just going to throw out what I'm playing. I downloaded Baldur's Gate 3, but I'm like, this is the other thing I do too, is like, I buy a game and I'm like so excited to play it. Then I like travel back east for like 3 weeks and I'm like, okay, now I don't even want to play Diablo, but I also, Baldur's Gate 3 has come out and I've downloaded it, but I'm like, I can't start that until I finish Diablo. And now I have like, Diablo starts to feel like homework. I'm like, okay, I have an hour. I should jam out a couple of dungeons. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is supposed to be for fun. Like, just play the game you want to play. I'm already behind, like, everyone's already moved on from Diablo, so it's not like if I play it in 6 months, people are going to be like, what are you doing? They're already like, what are you doing? And I'm always so far behind in that way, because I'm like, no, because I have this, like, stupid completionist thing that makes me watch all of Lincoln Lawyer, even if I didn't like it by episode 3. You know, I have to finish it because my brain is broken.
You got
to
find out how the case turns out.
Yeah,
win?
I'm so curious. It's like, oh, the show sucks. I don't care at all, but I got to just know.
And that's how I am with like every Apple TV show. Not all of them, but so many of them are just like, what is this? Like, it's like pretty people with some plot, and I got to figure out what happens at the end.
The wife and I are watching Changeling along the same lines. We're like,
is it good? I haven't watched it.
I don't know. I have no idea. I'm 3 episodes in. I kind of like it. I'm like, am I going to finish this? If it was all out, I would finish it. Now it's weekly. It runs a chance of losing me.
Yeah.
But it also, you know, when a show is weekly nowadays, they also never tell you, like, check back next Thursday or whatever. So you're kind of like,
yeah,
just anytime you're surfing, you're like, oh shit, there's a new blank. Right. Okay, I'll just throw that on.
Yeah.
Hi, mighty. Our next partner is Athletic Greens. And I literally just chugged down an AG1, my morning little scoop of powder in about 14 ounces of cold water. Smash it down. Now I'm on my way to better gut health, increased energy, immune system support. And I didn't have to take a bunch of vitamins first thing in the morning because that always makes me a little nauseous if I do it on an empty stomach. But slamming down AG1, Athletic Greens, does not hurt my tummy. As a matter of fact, I think it's a great way to get a few ounces of cold water first thing in the morning, which can also kind of feel, taste a little nasty. So you throw some of that AG1 in there and then boom, you're getting a scoop of 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients of the highest quality, giving you major benefits like gut and mood support, boosted energy, and even healthier looking skin, hair, and nails. So I get my AG1 delivered to me every month. Very easy to make it a daily habit. And it's very easy for you to make it a daily habit. So all you got to do is if you're looking for an easier way to take your supplements, you go to Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D, which obviously is kind of important, especially as we get into those winter months, and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. So go to athleticgreens.com/mighty. That's athleticgreens.com/mighty. Check it out. athleticgreens.com/mighty. Rocket Money! Okay, I don't know what I'm trying to... Try it free for 30 days, huh? You know, that's enough time to try something and completely forget about it. Like, I totally forgot. I guess I should leave out names here, but I totally forgot I had a subscription to a streaming service, and then I happened to look at my credit card bill, and I saw it, and I was like, damn, how long have I been paying for that and not using it? Did you know that most Americans think they spend around $80 a month on subscriptions, when it's actually closer to $200? Yikes. You need Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Over 80% of people apparently have subscriptions that they forgot about, you know, something or a double dip, like you and your partner, you and your roommate have the same service. We don't need two of those. Or like, holy crap, I got rid of that printer, but I guess I'm still paying. Because everything has monthly services now. Everything's a gym membership. You know, that's how they're hoping you can go into a coma and just keep paying these businesses by accident, you know, like, but no, that's where Rocket Money comes in, helps you find those. So stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/mighty. That's rocketmoney.com/mighty. 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 So I'm playing Diablo 4. Download Baldur's Gate 3. I also download both Star Wars games because someone's like... The new one is really fun, and I'm oh, but they're like, you got to play the first one, though, to get the storyline.
Fallen Order?
So I download Fallen Order. I start playing Fallen Order, and I do not like the map interface. I do not understand it at all. And there are, and we could talk about this more, but there are moments and things in games now where I feel aged out of them a little bit.
Huh.
Where I'm like, oh, this map like is a little complex, and I feel like if I had been playing games unbroken for the last 5 years, this would be such an understandable, this vernacular, this map vernacular would be in my bones. But like,
yeah, that's so well. So, do you play any other Souls games? Like, I would say that Fallen Order is kind of a Souls game or a Soulsborne.
I don't. Another game I downloaded and have not even touched is Elder Scrolls because it looked so fucking rat.
Elden Ring. Right. Yes. Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah, that's so interesting because I also similarly I played like Bethesda games, whatever. And maybe like, I don't even know, like 3 years ago, I tried to play Bloodborne, which is a PS4 exclusive at the time. And there's sort of a totally, it's a different system of games, just in that the way people talk about it is like, it's transparent versus opaque storytelling. So a game like Assassin's Creed, it's transparent. Like, anything you do, it's like, hey, by the way, go here and kill the guy. And then, like, you can go over here and there's going to be a shop, and you can go over here and it's going to be another guy that you have to kill, and it's a quest marker. And, like, everything is sort of pre-planned and you're able to go. A game like a Soulsborne game, they're telling you almost nothing. They're like, hey, you're on this planet, and then everything else that you do, you kind of have to figure out. So you have to figure out where to go to sell things and buy things, where to go to, like, discover. So it's more about discovery than it is about, like, completing the map and stuff.
Interesting. I kind of dig that. I can get behind that.
Yeah.
Everyone just says, like, oh, it's so complicated or so difficult is what a lot of people say.
Like, they are difficult because it's, again, like, it's the a game like Skyrim, you're kind of just, like, going in and you're like, I'm going to attack this until it dies, and I'm not going to guard almost ever, and, like, whatever. Like, I'm just going to blast this. A game like Fallen Order or Elden Ring, you have to be a little more strategic. You're like, okay, this thing is really powerful, so if I get hit once or twice, like, I'm done. So I have to kind of look at its pattern of attack and then anticipate stuff and, like, guard or roll and stuff like that.
Oh yeah. That appeals to me less than, like, okay, I guess I gotta go grind until I find a better weapon and then come back and murk this bitch or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, and that is true, I think, for Elden Ring 2, but it's the combat's a little bit more difficult. There's sort of a different, like, flavor of games. This is like Sekiro, Dark Souls, like, they're all sort of the same pool of games, and the idea is if you die, you lose all the experience that you've gained from the last time you died, and you reset to a place and all the enemies respawn.
So
that's, like, what makes it difficult too, is that you're trying to get from checkpoint A to checkpoint B, but every time you hit a checkpoint, all the enemies respawn, and if you die along the way, you lose all the XP that you had gained in between checkpoints. Oof. So, like, it makes it's a little bit of a gamble. You're like, all right, I've got a fucking ton of this shit, but I think it's just a little bit farther. Let me go, like, try to get this, that little, it's almost the gambler's dilemma. Like, you're like, if I fucking just,
should I get up from the table now, or should I fucking right. double down? Interesting. Yeah. Is Monster Hunter that type of game too? Or am I confusing that?
Monster Hunter, I think, has a similar combat mechanic where it's, like, big fight. You know, these guys are, like, swinging at you and you got to dodge and roll. But it's more of an RPG. And I think everything does respond, though. It's, like, similar in that way.
I got Monster Hunter on Switch because someone had recommended it. And I was, like, way too overwhelmed by it.
No, I also didn't link on that. I was like, it's crazy.
I intend to some point get to Elden Ring. Like, you know, this is just such old man married shit. My wife used to travel for work.
Oh, like dream every once for a gamer husband, right?
By the way. Gamer husband shit is like, oh, you're gone this weekend? Great. I'm going to put 40 hours into the game. But now it feels weird. Like, if she's like, I'm done, and, like, we eat dinner, and then it's like, what do you want to watch? I'm like, well, I'd like to go into my room and play 4 hours of games alone. Like,
no, I also struggle with this because it's like, I don't, like, I want to spend time with my wife, obviously. You know what I do is I'm usually like, hey, Saturday, Starfield comes out. So I just want to prepare you that that's something that I'm going to want to do on that day or whatever.
Right.
But before I was as open, like, when we were first started dating, me and my wife been together like 5 years. And before, I wasn't really, like, aware of how to tell her that video games are something that were fun for me or are important to me. So instead of saying anything,
you intended to say important at first, and then you were like, that feels weird to say, I'll say fun. And then you're like, you know what? On High and Mighty, we're real here. We're going to just say the video games, they are important to me. Like, I have to, like, explain to my wife. I'm like, you know how, like, this is, like,
yes,
it's art. It's
totally.
It activates. It's a stress relief for me. Mm-hmm. She's like, well, it doesn't always sound like it. I'm like, okay. Like, okay, I can't get it. Fair. It does get my anxiety up sometimes, but, like, taking it out on games is it feels like such a treat when you're a grown up who's, like, an independent contractor who has, like, a million different 1099s they have to keep up in the air so that their, like, life stays together. Like, it feels like such a treat to be like, well, I have a 3-hour brick right now that I'm going to use to play games.
Man,
like, it's just like unheard of. Yeah.
I just recently, like, I was working at this company called The Try Guys full time, and I'm now an independent creator. So I, like, left the comfort of a full-time job to now work for myself. And in the first week I was like, oh shit, I could kind of I can maybe hop in a Starfield, even though it's 1 p.m. on like the middle of the workday.
There's two parts to that, because you can hop into Starfield at 1 p.m. in the middle of the day, which is a good, well-adjusted version of being an independent contractor. And then there's the thing of like, it's Thursday night, we're all going on a raid at the fucking blah, blah, blah in the game, and you're like, I don't know, I feel like I have work I have to do. Like, my brain goes, I can tell when I'm sizzling, like when I'm doing well mentally, and when I'm doing poor is like when I'm like, Miles, I can't, you're nearly a stranger to me, and I'm gonna like a cop to this here. I so frequently am like, no, you do not have time to play a game today. You have to like get certain things, and it's amorphous. Right. It's not even like specific. It's like, you just got to get some work done. And then what I'll do is sit at my computer and do almost nothing.
Productive. Completely. Oh yeah. No, I totally get that.
Fuck, dude, you should have just played video games. And now instead, like 90 minutes have gone by where I was forbidding myself from playing games because I had to do stuff. I didn't do anything. So now I'm double fucked. I didn't do anything productive nor fun, or in our case, totally important.
No, I totally agree with that. And something I'm trying to balance now with the like independent contractor life is, I know for a fact that the busier I am, the more productive I am, and the more I put myself into a crunch, the more I do accomplish. And so I'm like trying to figure out, middle ground, where I'm like, okay, well, if I play video games for a couple hours, like that actually is okay. It's going to bring me joy. And then like, I've never missed a deadline. Like I just will get it done.
Right. I'll just jam.
I'll just jam. I'm forcing myself into a corner to like get these things done. But anyway, with my wife, I was waking up for a period of time to play Last of Us 2 at 6 a.m. I was like, waking up at 6 a.m. And we only, at the time we had roommates, now we live alone, but I had to play in our bedroom, so I would wear headphones for my PS4 and play Last of Us 2 at like 6 a.m. in 2 to 3 hours. My wife slept till 10 at that time, so I was like playing from 6 to, you know, when I had to work in the morning every morning, and that's how I played that entire game. And like,
just waking up like weeping and shit.
I woke up like one morning when I beat it, I was like tearing up, like, you know, tears in my eyes, like playing in the morning. It was like 7:30 in the morning. I was like, like my wife's like sleeping next to me.
Like when the Last of Us TV show came out, Tiff was like, my wife Tiffany was like, oh, are we gonna watch this show? I'm like, I mean, it was one of the most magnificent games I've ever. And she was like, when did you play this? I was like last month. She's like, what? Because I have this like little office and everything I own is in here, including my gaming. And she's like, wait, you played? And I'm like, I played 1 and 2. She's like, what? and I'm like, yeah, I was like crying in there and shit. Like, it's like this whole life I had that she had no idea about.
No, totally. Like, and those games meant so much to me. Like, I played the first one when it came out. I don't know when that was, like 2013 or something like that. And it's so cool to see that the show is awesome. Like, I think that that's also really cool, because I was nervous about it because it meant so much. Video games are important to me. I'll say it, John. They're very important to me.
I've said this on previous episodes, but I can like mark the periods of my life by like what game I was playing. I'm like, oh, totally. College, freshman year, that was Age of Empires 2 over the local area network for the first time in my life. You know, funny enough, junior and senior year were like Diablo, and like I'm still fucking ripping it. The fucking Last of Us, when the show came out, someone's like, "Have you played? What do you think the show's gonna be like?" I'm like, "I don't know." The games were so cinematic.
It has a
great narrative. It's not like you have to adapt a narrative. So I was really impressed by the show by going down these side story tangents. I thought that was a way for someone who
really
played
smart.
The game to like a majority. And I played them well after they both came out. I just like ripped through them like a couple of years ago. It was fucking great.
No, totally. And I think that it's cool, that they did the side stories. They added like Melanie Linsky's character. They added a bunch of things to it that made me excited as someone who loved the games. And the cast is just great. Bella Ramsey and Pedro Pascal are fucking awesome. And I'm excited for season 2. I think it's going to fucking rule. Like, I loved that game so much in the second one. And honestly, like, there was some critical backlash to the second one. And the game meant so much to me that I just couldn't read it. I was like, I don't want to hear people talk about this because I just know how I feel about it. And I really loved it.
Yeah, I just could not give a shit what critics have to say about video games.
No,
I have like 6 friends that I'm just like, I send a text to. I'm like, what should I play next? Jeff Rubin, yeah. Adam Conover, tell me what I should be playing. Yeah.
Now, I have a question for you. So I, during the pandemic, got into PC gaming. So that's now what I'm doing. I built my own PC. And
Envy on my part.
And I really, really have, it brought me so much joy. And now, like, I essentially first bought a pre-built PC and since have taken the entire thing apart and used the parts and built, got a new case and whatever. And I've built two of them now, one for this studio, one for my house. And I'm into PC gaming now, which means that, like, I'm doing a little bit of the, like, mouse and keyboard fast clicking stuff. I'm doing, like, you know, anything that I need kind of like a fast internet connection to play. Like, I was playing Warzone for a while. And I found that the PC gaming thing was a new, like, adult way to do this hobby that I've loved forever. And it's like, oh, it's sort of the 2.0 version of that. Like, everything's a higher frame rate. Everything looks a little bit better. And, like, you know, the idea is also that I can use the computer to, like, export videos. So, like,
the mouse and keyboard gaming is, like, what I came up doing. Like, it's funny.
Yeah.
I'm 41, so of course I had 8-bit Nintendo as a kid. It was my babysitter, had Super Nintendo and all that. But starting at like the late 90s, I got into PC gaming in high school, and I built my own PC for college. And
That's sick.
With like the night, I had a friend help me build it, but it was like with the fucking like black light inside with like the visible side and shit.
Yeah,
it had like the biohazard cut out on the side or whatever. Yeah. And it was so stupid. And I got really, and I played a lot of PC games. But then when I got older, I kind of went away from that, got into, you know, I played World of Warcraft once I moved to Brooklyn and I on my PC a lot. But then I eventually got an Apple. And kind of games went by the wayside in my mid-20s in New York City. And I kind of fell out of them for a long time. And then got back into the Blizzard games, which I always loved. And because they port to a Mac and PC. Mm-hmm. So like once I had a good PowerBook, or now I have a iMac Pro, I could use that to play Heroes of the Storm, the fucking Diablo game, like all the...
Right.
But then... I got back into console. Now I'm at the stage where I kind of want, I don't have the room or the capacity for this at all, but I want to like, I want to add PC gaming to my office without losing my giant like iMac situation.
Here. Okay. So I, for a while had a PC. I mean, here, I'll show you, I can pivot the camera. This is the camera. This is the PC that I have for this studio. It's one I built, and it's like gigantic and awesome. I started, and I was like using a laptop to do some stuff, and then I was like, "Well, use the PC." And I found that the PC was just so much more powerful than my laptop was.
Right.
And so, because it's like, you buy the graphics card, like Apple fleeces you for the low powered shit because they have a good operating system.
Right.
And now I, after doing that and kind of being like, "Oh, well, I'll use the Mac for some things," and I'm full. PC, I'm full Windows. I abandoned Apple. I mean, I have an iPhone, obviously. I'm not insane. Right. But like,
I'm not a Samsunger. Jesus Christ.
But I now like fully do everything on Windows, and that's where like I do a lot of video editing and stuff. So do that fully on Premiere in Windows. And I love it. I like, and it's also one of those hobbies that is, if you like to tinker and you like to kind of like go on a forum and be like, okay, well, how do I set this up properly? There's just so much to do, and I really like computers and learning how they work and whatever. Yeah. So it's been awesome.
I remember like upgrading my NVIDIA GeForce. I mean, I was probably 7200 or 5400 when I was doing it. God knows what they are now.
Yeah, right.
But that was like in the early aughts. Was like, dude, you got the NVIDIA GeForce? Shit, dude, we're gonna rip. Diablo's gonna look fucking bananas. And now that's like the video card that's in my phone. Like,
yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, no, that part is cool. I also like, I love the PC gaming because I like the PS5 is the frame rate difference. Like playing in 60 frames a second versus playing in 30 or something, I find is like a crazy difference.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I don't really understand that. Like because of the time I missed in gaming.
Yeah.
I don't fully understand a lot of that tech, but being back like on PlayStation 5 and like getting down with the new games to come out, it feels so. I should say there was a real long gap where I was like a temp and like a writer and like a segment producer and a producer, like all these stupid jobs I had for a long time where I got really into like in-browser games. Like,
oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, like tower defense games and games like that really had a stranglehold on me in my mid-20s, more or less. Still love them to a degree. And but getting like back into console gaming has felt like a real... And for me, it's like kind of important that it's separate than my computer. So it's like I get up and move.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I can technically play it from here because my PlayStation is...
Oh, there you go. Yeah, so you can play
it. It's actually being currently used as my second monitor, and then I could just switch it with the switcher from HDMI to HDMI, and then I could play PlayStation on it.
Yeah.
I need the ability to be like, okay, work is over, because longest time would be sitting here and then just like fire up Heroes of the Storm, or lately I've been getting into... Steam games. That's kind of new to me too, and like getting these sort of semi RPG games. I've been playing a lot of a game called Dave the Diver. If you haven't
I've been in playing Dave the Diver, and I really like it. It's like I've been playing it on I've Steam Deck. So
to me this a little bit, because Weiger recommended Steam Deck to me, and I didn't fully understand what it was.
So a Steam Deck is essentially a gaming PC, but it's a little bit bigger than a Switch. It's a handheld gaming PC. So you're able to, whereas a Switch is like a handheld that you can only play Nintendo games, a Steam Deck, you can play any video game that is on Steam, which is like any video game, like pretty much, except for Nintendo exclusives. So you set it up, and it's a little bit bigger than a Switch. It's a little sturdier, but you can play anything on it. So I'll download a game on Steam, then also download it on my Steam Deck, and I'm able to play it like from my couch, or from bed or whatever on the Steam Deck. It's good.
But you can't like take... Can you take the Steam Deck with you like on a trip?
Yes, definitely. So the Steam Deck, I mean, if you played at home, you can I can play PS5 games on the Steam Deck because I use remote play. So I'm able to do that. But I also can take it with me and have download games and play on the plane. So like recently I was on a trip and I was playing Baldur's Gate 3 on my Steam Deck on the plane, because it's just like a way to take your gaming PC with you. It's an amazing, amazing device.
Interesting, because my Switch got stolen when I was visiting New York, and I'm from my hotel room. I think
that's horrible.
I either lost it in the hotel room, which I don't think I did because I did like five checks before I left, or like a cleaning person or someone took it from me.
Wow,
it's kind of infuriating.
Totally.
And I want to get another one, but maybe I want to get a Steam Deck, because the Steam games almost appeal to me more than Switch games, because those are the dumb games I want to try. And I'm sitting here playing like Cult of the Lamb on my 27-inch monitor.
Yeah,
it's unnecessary.
No, like, Cult of the Lamb is like, I loved it, but I was like, this would be better if I was playing handheld. I think I played it on PS4.
Right, it's like, it's so easy to like Dave the Diver is such a fun game, but I don't need like an iMac Pro to run it.
No, definitely not. I mean, I'll also say the Steam Deck is great because it's like a Linux computer. So you can boot it into the Steam menu and there's all your little games. You can click on them. You can also boot it into desktop mode, and it is fully a computer that is like a tablet. So you can like connect a mouse to it and connect a keyboard, and like it's just a computer. You can download apps on it, whatever. So what you can also do, which is like, this requires a little more tinkering, but I think that for the type of gamer you are, you will like this. You can emulate any game on your Steam Deck. So you can play, if you were into the fucking Pokemon, if you were into Halo, if you were into any old game, you can, well, I mean, there's a little bit of a tricky thing there where emulated games, it's like a gray area where you're supposed to have owned them to download the ROMs and whatever. But if you want to emulate old games like that, you can do it on the Steam Deck. So I was playing like games I played in my childhood handheld, like with the Steam Deck. It was crazy.
Oh, that's so fun. That was kind of cool about Switch. Switch had all those old games on it. Like, we could play some 8-bit Nintendo games and shit like that. But yeah. I think that might be, because that's the thing. I want to be able to play Dave the Diver on the road.
Literally what I'm doing. I'm playing Dave the Diver only on Steam Deck. It's great.
Because like, it makes no sense for me to sit. If I could sit down at my computer, I shouldn't play Dave the Diver. I should be playing Elden Ring or fucking, what am I playing now? Diablo or fucking... Yeah. Baldur's Gate 3. Dave the Diver, to jump back to it for a second, the vibes are like so, like the music is so powerful in the game. And it's it's funny that I think Steam does this, a lot of Steam games do this really well, where you're like, working, you're like playing a game and you're like, oh, this is a fun little like shallow, little dumb little game. And then it goes on, it goes on, it goes on. And then you're like, this game is way more deep and intensive than I thought it was.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
And like, you know, and it's like, I'm trying to think of other games that were like that. They keep recommending me these games that seem like it's one thing and then you keep playing and it gets more and more elaborate.
Oh, dude, oh God, there's one that just came out that's so good. It starts and it's the card game. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. Yes.
That is my favorite game of the last year. I would play that.
It's, dude, someone got me into that where you play a card game and then eventually you stand up from the table and you're able to like move around and interact with the world around you. Like, it's called like Chronicle. It's not that. It's something.
What the hell is it? It's called like, oh my God. Goaty. Card game last year. It's called like Inscription. Inscription. Yes. Yeah, dude. Inscription. Yeah, it starts out and it's this card game. And the card game is really fun. It's like a cool little game. And then, yeah, you stand up from the table and like your little character is like, there's like a weird mystery going on. I loved that game.
That's literally the game I was thinking about when I was referencing like some of these games, these game designers that people are doing.
Yeah.
Because like I'm always... Here's another thing. Let's talk not fantasy in the genre games, but dream games. I love XCOM 2. Did you play XCOM 2?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I love that fucking game. I loved how it worked. I'm dying for a fantasy version of XCOM 2, which would be like as close as you could get to like tabletop to a tabletop D&D game. And the closest I've found were like a game called Wildermyth, which is kind of like that, but it was like a little cheesier than you want it to be. And another game I loved growing up was Heroes of Might and Magic.
I'm
chasing that game again. And the closest I found to that is something on Zoom on Steam called Songs of Conquest. And neither of them are exactly what you want them to be, but they both kind of, and I'm like, I'm like out there trying to get people, like get game designers to be like, make a fantasy XCOM 2. Like,
yeah, right.
And like that feels like a dream. This conversation alone is making me want to play XCOM 2 again. And I don't have time for any of it.
No, I mean, I totally relate to like the fantasy game things and wanting like some of that. It's like what you want is that piece of excitement from your childhood to like be playable again.
Right.
In like a fantasy. And I'll say, right now, my desire for games, like I'm playing Starfield, that's huge. It's like a huge, crazy, expansive game. It's going to take me like 100 hours to beat. And then Baldur's Gate 3, also gigantic. I'll say what I'm craving now is actually more games like Inscription that are like smaller and really specific and like little tiny stories. Because I sometimes will get as much enjoyment out of a small little game like that that just is really, really well done, handcrafted, like not open world. It's linear, but it's got like little things going on.
That's a good example of one of those, like a game that was like really small and dumb. It doesn't wrap up in the way you want it to wrap up, but got me. Vampire Survivors took like,
oh, I didn't play it. That you liked that? It was cool.
Yeah, it's a super silly, like it's like an 8-bit fantasy goth version of like Space Invaders. Like,
oh, cool.
It's like bad guy hell and you upgrade your weapons but then there's like weird pockets and weird experience and weird shit that happens.
Oh, Vampire Survivors I did play, and that game did fucking rip. I thought there was a different vampire game that I didn't play, but yes, where you walk around and you can only control the way you move, right?
Yes, yeah, and you like upgrade the weapons you get. You're like, oh, I'm like a 6th level with the Holy Bible spinning around you.
And then it's like so much happening on the screen, like at the end.
Bullet hell by the end. Those are really, that game is really fun and really simple, but I couldn't believe how addictive it is. Another genre of games I love, and I don't even, they're like weirdly card adjacent games. Like Slay the Spire was a game that took my life away from me in a way. Yeah.
That's a great Steam Deck game, by the way. Cause it's just like,
I had it on Steam for so long that when I got a Switch, I bought it again for Switch so I could play it while I traveled. Cause it's a great travel game. Like a low stakes game like that, where you can put, I'm so frequently playing games that I can't stop.
Yes.
You know,
oh
like,
God.
And
like all
very
I'm thinking
frustrating.
About is being, yeah.
And all you're a father.
I know. Exactly. My kid's in the room screaming. No. But like that thing is, I have less time to play video games now. Which is why during the pandemic, I was doing some Twitch streaming. And now that I'm an independent creator, I'm like, maybe I do more streaming. So that way when I play video games, it's work somehow. Like yeah. that. Like
the
I
curse
didn't get
of
into...
the independent contractor in the modern times is like I've monetized like all my hobbies to a way right. in which nothing is for me anymore.
Like... yeah, right. No, that's why I stopped. And also my audience that like is not interested really in seeing me play video games. Like they're like, oh, this is cool, I guess. But like we kind of just want you to do like stuff. Like we want you to like talk. If you were just to talk at camera uninterrupted for an hour, we'd almost like that more. Because like that's not where my audience is from at all.
Yeah.
But I will say, yeah, I have way less time because it's like I wake up with him in the morning and it's like sometimes at night I have a little bit of time. But yeah, it's about stealing time in the middle of the day now. That's yeah. where I'm at video game wise.
When you're on your own clock in a yeah, week, you're like, exactly, all right, yeah, right. I can afford 2 hours. Like I truly have, it's 11 o'clock now. I have like a noon thing and I'm like, oh man, it would be awesome to be, but like, half the games I have, like, you can't squeeze in a half hour of gaming. But
totally, yeah.
when I opened up Steam to try to figure out the name of Inscription, I was like, I could definitely play 30 minutes of Vampire Survivors.
Oh, yeah, no, 100. You can play 5 minutes of Vampire Survivors. It's such a good, like, hop in and go game.
Yeah, yeah. And so what, like, are there any... this will probably come out in a week or two. Are there any games on the horizon that were like games that we know are being developed that we're like dying for? Because there's there's always been talk of another Skyrim, right? Like,
yeah, they're working right now on Elder Scrolls. Yeah, Skyrim, Elder Scrolls 6, I think it is. That will come out sometime. Who fucking knows? But it'll that's being worked on right now. It's tough because I feel like there's so many goddamn video games that like like if. But there's so many games I have not played. Like, I played a little bit of Horizon Forbidden West, and I was like, oh, this is cool. Didn't play any of the rest of it, but it's like, I bought it. I could go back right. and play so many hours of that. Games on the horizon that are coming out, yeah, I don't know. Starfield, I think, is going to take me forever. Elden Ring has DLC that's coming out soon that I'm really excited about.
So you put in some time in Elden Ring. You beat it?
Oh, yeah. I platinumed the game. I like I got like every trophy. I played like a fucking shit ton of that game.
Now, I'm a big fantasy head, but not necessarily a Souls head. Should I try to get into it? Because it just every image from it and looked really fucking radical. Like
You're going to like it. It's also the first Souls game that people say is like a good bridge. Like they make a lot of this stuff simpler. You play Dark Souls 1, it's like fucking crazy difficult. None of it makes any sense. You have to like speak a certain language to be able to understand like how the game is designed. Elden Ring is a little bit like more, they'll hold your hand a little bit and they'll be like, you can go here and whatever. And it's just the world and the combat is so good. And you can play however you want. You can be like a mage, like, you know, and shoot spells. You can be, you know, a guy with a big sword. It's so, so fun.
Oh, that's rad. There's like a new style of games that kind of split the diff between like a third person shooter and an RPG. Like I think Horizons is one of those games. Mm-hmm. Ghost of Tsushima, it was a game like
that. Yeah, I like that a lot. Yeah.
I like that a lot too. The new Assassin's Creed Valhalla, the God of War games. There are some elements that Far Cry. There are these elements of these games that are like that differentiate them, but there's something a little bit that's like there's a main storyline, there's some side quests, there's experience, there's equipment, but it is like not hyper elaborate. And if you don't accidentally upgrade your bow for like a while, it's not going to kill you. Like these games are like kind of my sweet spot in that I'm like, oh, I could play this for 50 hours and beat it. And like,
yeah,
you know,
totally.
And I really dig those games. So I look forward to more in those worlds. Like a game I absolutely love that I intend to go back and play again was Shadow of Mordor.
Did not play that, but would love to.
Oh, highly recommend it. It's the fight engine is on the Arkham Asylum engine. So like if you played those games, that kind of combat is really fun. And then Shadow of Mordor also has this like orc hierarchy that like the bad guys, like if one of them beats you in a fight, he gains power and gets like underlings. And like, there's like a full tree of bad guys where you're like, shit, I have to kill this, this like goblin chief. And it's like, oh, he killed me once. He's already got two cronies that watch him that are more powerful than ever before. And like that game I really dug. So I hope they do something. And again, that's like in the fantasy world because it's Lord of the Rings. You're not playing by any of the, you're not a Lord of the Rings character. You're just like living the world. So it's fucking
rad. That's sick. That's awesome. Damn.
Yeah. So again, now this has just made me want to play so many. I'm like,
I know. I'm literally like,
keep looking at my iCal.
I'm touring. Right. I'm touring a preschool, and I'm like, how fast can I get back after I do that?
I got like a really hard to get beach camping spot for Thursday night into Friday, and I'm like, fuck, man. Like, and I already have like my whole schedule blocked out so I could sleep out Thursday night more or less. And I'm like,
yeah, right.
If I just stayed home, I could play games all night. Like, and it's like the absolute nature. Like, I should spend the night under the stars at the beach in beautiful Southern California, or should I fucking close my blinds, eat the fucking volcano, you know, fire up the volcano and play 12 hours of Elden Ring.
Hell yeah, dude.
First,
yeah.
I got to finish Diablo 4 just to feel free of that campaign for some reason. Even though yes. I'm like, I love these games so much and I used to play them multiplayer with friends, I'm not loving it alone. Like, and it's fine. It's fun. Mm-hmm. It's a good version of Diablo. I'm just like, maybe I've moved on or there's too much exciting stuff out there for me.
Yeah, I mean, like, in terms of playing with friends, during the pandemic, I hadn't ever played online video games that much until the pandemic. Like, I had always been the solo gamer or like playing with my friends as a kid in person, but never played online. And then during the pandemic with Fortnite and Warzone and Minecraft, actually, me and my friends were like, this is a way for us to hang out and do something together that we can do for hours. So like every night, you know, we're all popping an edible and hopping into Warzone and like playing, you know, till really late. And it was so fun. It really like, that helped me feel connected to people during the pandemic.
Yeah, funny. The two guys I grew up playing video games with, my two childhood best friends, over the pandemic, the reason Diablo 4 was so hot for us is over the pandemic, we downloaded Diablo 3 again.
Yeah.
And all started playing over. And there wasn't at the time, like, and we were a real way to chat. So we would have like three iPhone conference call, like a three-way FaceTime audio on speaker while we played. And it was like, we've done that a few times, and we still have a character. We each have a character that we play Diablo 4 together with. Like, we can't touch separately, but like we did do that a lot. I played a lot of StarCraft over StarCraft 2 specifically over Blizzard.net. I got my fucking ass hat. I remember one like my pot dealer coming to my door but being in the middle of a StarCraft game and like afraid to get up and like being like, is this guy gonna walk away with my eighth? I gotta go get him. Like, it was like, I mean, this is like 2008 or whatever, but when I lived in New York pre-legalization. But dude, Miles, this has been a fucking hell of a conversation. It's inspirational in the dumbest way, in that it's inspiring me to be like,
I also
you gotta get
inspired.
Back out there and get my games in. I gotta get my gaming in.
Hell yeah. No, I'm like, I have all this homework now. I'm like, I really gotta play Starfield and I should get back into Baldur's Gate and like maybe I play this one.
RPGs are always my fucking downfall too, because I make a character and I'm like, this has been so fun, but wouldn't it have been more fun if I just did like a warrior class? And then you do it for like a while. It's like, magic seems fucking cool. And then like you go back into it and then you're like, now I've got like eight levels. If you look at any of my RPG load up screens, you can tell I have adult ADD. Like, it's just like, no one's ever beat the game. I just have like eight level 30 characters that I'm like, I don't know who I like the best. Miles, why don't you tell the shitheads, my mouth breathing listeners, a little bit about your show and where they can find that and anything else you got to plug.
Hell yeah. What's up, shitheads? You can listen to Perfect Person. It's a call-in advice show where people call me with their problems, and then I live call them back and solve them over the phone flawlessly. We get a lot of wacky calls. It's a blast. You can check it out everywhere you get podcasts and on YouTube. We have a full video version of the podcast that looks nice and cute.
Yeah, if you're filming in that office that I'm looking at here, then
Hell yeah, baby. Exactly, right.
And spoiler alert, I'm going to be hitting the fucking wood-grained office next week.
Right, baby. We're having Johnny G on the show to give all sorts of tweens throughout the world his advice.
We're going to see how easy it is for the two adults to fit in your sauna also.
Yeah, it's a two-person sauna, but not for us.
I'm coming in my fucking rubber suit ready to fucking sweat. Miles, this has been a fucking hell of a chat, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to having you on my podcast.
I can't wait. So check out A Perfect Person. And as for me, you can, I'm not going to do any TV or movie plugs. A, because I have none, and B, because I'm abiding by strike rules.
That's right.
But check out Action Boys, my podcast about action movies. Now, I'm sure I've told the listeners this, but we have some free episodes at free.actionboys.biz. So you can get there, get hooked, and then come over to the Patreon and start eliminate like whatever college fund you're having and start paying me so I don't have to be, so I can afford more games. How cool would that be?
That'd be nice. That'd be really nice.
Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy, I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone. People are loving this movie.
It's actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to, like, see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane. It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
There's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room in.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action Boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it! Come on! Do it now!